Wonder, have you ever wondered how a minister decides what the message should be for a Sunday morning? If you haven't, I have many times. I'd assume that every minister has that question quite often. Brother John shared an interesting comment in his message several weeks ago when he said that the message he preached wasn't the one he was really planning on earlier. And so sometimes that happens. God seems to sort of move our mind in a different direction. The message I felt led to share with you this morning has been developing in my mind for a few weeks, and the seeds of it may go back even to when Brother Steve Byler was here and shared that Sunday morning message. Some of you remember that. He spoke about hope and how that hope often comes in a different form than we had expected. We might have one thing in mind that we expect God will give us, but his plan may be very different. Title for the message this morning is simply Broken Pieces. Broken Pieces. Try to explain more what we mean. To begin with, you can be turning to Mark chapter 8, Mark's Gospel chapter 8, and we'd like to read a portion here. As you're turning there, I might mention that I will be reading from the ESV, the English Standard Version this morning, different from what we usually use, the New King James Version. But the reason I'm doing this is it uses a few of the words, the exact words that I wanted to sort of concentrate on in the message this morning. I might just mention that while we need to be cautious in our versions of the Bible, if we use them carefully, they can be a blessing to us to read portions of Scripture in another version that can bring in a different light or perspective. So there's nothing wrong with that. I do appreciate our practice of largely reusing the New King James, but this morning we're deviating and using. You can follow along. You'll see that there is just a little bit of different wording, but of course the same message. If you can easily, you might stand. We'll be reading a little section here from Mark chapter 8, verse 1. In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered, they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from far away. And his disciples answered him, How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? And he asked them, How many loaves do you have? They said, 7. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away. And immediately he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the district of Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came and began to argue with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, Why does this generation seek a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. And he left them, got into the boat again, and went to the other side. Now, they had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only 1 loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. They began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? They said to him, 12. And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And I'm just adding here, I wonder, did they say it sort of ashamedly or embarrassed? Well, 7, 7 baskets full. And he said to them, Do you not yet understand? That's as far as it reads. You can be seated. Now note with me what happened here. We see in the beginning that a great crowd had gathered again, and not only had they come to hear Jesus speak, but they stayed there for 3 whole days. That must have been some amazing experience to be so captivated by Jesus' teachings. They just couldn't go home. 3 days. They didn't want to go home. Finally, Jesus began to be concerned about their well-being. So he said, well, we've got to do something. They're going to faint. They won't make it home. Some had come from far away. And so with just 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish, Jesus provided food for at least 4,000 people. Not only enough food, but so much that then they picked up the broken pieces, and that's what I liked about this translation. It calls it broken pieces that they had, and they had 7 large baskets full. The burden of the message this morning is to help us see that God's provision comes to us in little pieces, broken pieces. The disciples here saw a huge problem. They saw an impossibility. Here were 4,000 people way out in the desert somewhere, and Jesus talking about giving them lunch? How would you do that? They had 7 loaves of bread and a few little fish. But see, Jesus wasn't looking at the problem. He was looking at the provision, at the potential that he knew existed in that little bit of bread and those few little fish. Now, you notice that he took the bread, he broke it in pieces, and they kept passing it around until everybody had eaten. And when they were finished, they had far more than they did when they started, because Jesus broke the bread into pieces, and it just kept multiplying. Note with me that even though the pieces may be small and they may be broken, when you have enough of them, you put them all together, the finished product can be amazing. God sees the big picture. He knows the potential of little things, little pieces to add up to something big and powerful. So often we just see the little pieces and we don't see what God is doing in the bigger picture of what he's working in our lives. We see this in the conversation Jesus had here with the disciples in the boat. See, just before they were in this boat, in the last verses there, from 14 on, the Pharisees had come to Jesus and were questioning him, were arguing, and were testing him again. So with this in mind, Jesus told the disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And he was thinking about their spiritual welfare, the sort of the bigger picture. And what were they thinking about? Oh, we forgot to bring lunch along. You know, they were thinking about eating lunch. And he was trying to teach them something bigger. They were so focused on the little things, they couldn't even hear what Jesus was talking about because their minds were set on the little thing right there in front of them. When we become too focused on the little things that God may be giving us today, or the little piece of our life that we may have today, we might miss the bigger picture of what he's seeking to accomplish. See, God doesn't accomplish his big purpose in your life and mine in one huge brushstroke and it's all done. He does it one little piece at a time. Sometimes those pieces, maybe often or always, those pieces don't look like the big picture does. Many times it doesn't appear to have any correlation. In our opinion, in our estimation, it just doesn't seem like it fits the picture that we thought God would be painting with our life. It might not be at all what we had in mind when we signed up, as it were, to serve God. We might have had a big, beautiful picture in mind. Sometimes people go on a mission field. They're going to be a missionary. And they get there, and what do they have to do but sweep floors and cook food and wash pots and pans and all those mundane things? They thought they were going to be a missionary and really bring people to the Lord. You might find that here too. Of some of the things we do are just really quite mundane, aren't they? But they're a part of the big picture when they're done in the name of the Lord and for his service. Let's see if we can illustrate this with a little object lesson. Let's say Let's say I'm looking for a poster for my office, and we live in Ireland, so it would be nice to have something that reminds me of the country of Ireland. And so I'm looking around in a shop with Irish souvenirs, something that would look pretty. And I see this box, and it has a lovely picture of the doors of Ireland. You see that? That would look pretty on the wall, wouldn't it? A nice poster picture. So I buy it and I take it home, and I think they must have folded it up or rolled it up or something to get it in this box, because I think it would be bigger than this. So it's really going to be a nice poster. I open the box, and that's what's on the outside, but that's not what's on the inside. Inside, there's just a whole pile of pieces, just little broken pieces. That's not what I thought I would get. I wanted a poster. What's going on? Why did they sell me broken pieces? And they're not even very nice. I mean, there's just... That's all colorful and pretty, and these are just, there's one that's all black and some are all white, and where's the color? What's going on? Strange that we have pieces when we thought we would get a poster. Why would they do that? That's deceptive, don't you think? It's just not right. You'd take that back, wouldn't you, when you wanted a poster, and you just get a whole pile of pieces. It's all broken up. What can you do with that? You can't hang that on the wall. That's not going to work. See that? Oh, it does. Oh, you weren't supposed to see that. I must not have looked close enough. Thank you, Jimmy. Well, what do you do when the pieces don't match the picture? What do you do when the process doesn't look like the finished product? Think with me about Abraham for a minute. We could look at a variety of Bible characters. Just put that for now. Think of Abraham. Abraham, God said, you come out of your tent. You look up at the sky, and I want you to count those stars. And so Abraham comes out and probably started counting 1, 2, 3, 4. He soon gave up. Can't count them. God said, that's right. And you know, your descendants are going to be as just like that. So many, nobody can count them. And so Abraham goes back in his tent all excited and tells Sarah the wonderful news. Guess what? We're going to have lots and lots of children. Better start getting ready. God said we're going to have a huge family. Children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, on and on. So many, we can't even count them. This is going to be wonderful. They were really wishing for a baby once. They didn't even have one. So that's what God said, isn't it? He told Abraham that. And so Abraham naturally expected that. That's the picture. That's the picture that he was seeing, looking at, like I would have been looking at this poster. But now look at the pieces that God gave Abraham and Sarah. They were probably very excited, just waiting for that first sign of the baby coming. But they waited, and they waited, and they waited, and waited. Year after year after year. It's just like God would have been giving them this piece, then this piece. And they were thinking they would get this big poster or this picture, and it wasn't coming. Well, you know the story. They decided God needs some help, and so they got this plan to have a baby through Hagar, the maid, and all that did was bring huge problems. And to this day, where the world faces problems, don't they? Because of the problems between the descendants of Ishmael and Isaac. But do you know what was behind that decision that Abraham and Sarah had to to help God along. God had given them the big picture. But then when he didn't give them that, and all they got was this, they got discouraged. And they got to thinking something's wrong. God must need some help. He's not giving us the picture that he promised us. And so they thought they'd help him. But see, if I take these pieces and I use them the way they were intended to be used, and I patiently, which I don't often like to do, it seems there's more important things to do, but if you do patiently put, like Jimmy said, the 1,000 pieces together, I suppose you would end up with a picture like this, wouldn't you? And some people glue them together, and you could actually make a nice picture or poster when they're all put together. But it doesn't come that way. I couldn't open the box and roll out the poster. It comes in little pieces, just like this. That's how it comes. Not one of the pieces looks like that picture. But when we put them all together, they will look like that. The pictures that, the pieces that Abraham and Sarah got, day after day after year, what was it, 25 years, I believe, that they waited until Isaac was finally born. It didn't look like God's picture was coming to pass, and so they resorted to other means. And so quite often, that's what happens. People get discouraged, and they look for another way because that just doesn't look at all right, not like they had thought. To get the idea, God's purposes are revealed to us in pieces. And usually those pieces don't look like the picture. It's like the first year of marriage, perhaps we could say. You had a picture in your mind when you got married of this ideal couple, a couple who would never have the first disagreement or quarrel or problem. Sure, everybody says you'll be surprised, you'll learn, but no, you're going to show the world the ideal couple, the ideal marriage. Didn't you think that? We sort of did. But then you get the pieces, the waking up each morning and going to work and coming home, and the things to work through look a little bit more like this than like that, don't they? The pieces, you have to put them together every single day if you're going to have the picture of marriage that God intends us to have. Or it could be like parenting. Young couples, you have a picture of raising a beautiful, godly family. Children who are a model of obedience and manners and love and kindness. That's, and just, you know, a whole row of them. That's the picture of a godly family. Okay, here's a few pieces. Change the nappy. Clean up that mess. Wash the dishes. Wipe the runny noses. Settle that quarrel between Johnny and Susie there. Where's the godly family? That's the pieces. And it takes a lot of them, doesn't it? It takes a lot of them. But eventually, you can have the picture if you don't get too discouraged about the pieces. The pieces are what make the picture. It doesn't come all in one piece. The lesson I'm trying to bring to us is that we can't judge the picture by the pieces. Sometimes we're inclined to give up on our picture because all we can see is the piece we're holding in our hand at the moment. And that's the heart of the message this morning. Don't give up on the picture that God wants to form in your life just because you're given a handful of broken pieces day by day and they don't look like the big picture that you would have expected to have. It might look like the big picture is all broken up, but when we accept the pieces as he gives them to us, and we give them back to him, And we follow his instruction manuals. He's given us a manual how to put it together. When you're putting a puzzle together, you like the picture there. You can see where the red and the green and the different colors go. You need something to follow, and we have that right here. When we do that, the pieces start to fit together, and a picture starts to form. Because it's his picture, we need to give them to him and follow his instructions, because it's his plan and his purposes that are important. Sometimes the pieces that God hands to us to form the picture that he's making are pieces that we really don't want. We don't like that piece. Instead, there's some black pieces in here and white pieces, colorless pieces, and we don't want those. We want the colorful and the exciting and the pleasant ones. Permit me to give a personal example. Several weeks ago, I'll try not to get too emotional in this, but several weeks ago, my wife and I were sitting in a waiting room in the local hospital, and we were waiting for our appointment in the clinic there. We were waiting to be called in to get the results of the tests they had run on the tissue they had removed in her surgery just a while before that. In that waiting room, there were several other couples as well, and they were being called in one by one, and one couple had been sitting near to us there, and then they were called in ahead of us, and soon they came back out, and as they walked past us, we saw that the lady was crying. And we understood very well, because just a few weeks earlier, we had come out through those very same doors, quite stunned by the news that my wife indeed does have cancer. We knew how they felt. It's a place where many couples go and get that disappointing news. And when our turn came to go in, we received more disappointing news as well, as that day is when we found out that the cancer had spread further than just the small tumor that they had taken in the surgery. Times like these are like being handed little pieces, and they don't seem to be part of the beautiful picture that we thought God would be forming in our lives. We didn't want those pieces. We didn't want them. It felt like just brushing them aside. It's not what we wanted. Let me share with you another story, a true story of someone who is getting some pieces from God that don't seem to fit the picture that he was expecting. It's the story of a man named Nabil Qureshi. Some of you may have heard of him. He grew up a Muslim, and through many difficult experiences, he came to know the Lord. He's now a committed Christian. He wrote a book sharing this experience. It's called Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. It'd be well worth your time if you'd have time to read that. I could recommend it. Nabil has a stirring testimony of how he came to believe in Jesus. A very difficult transition, of course, as the Islam teaches that Jesus is a prophet, but to accept that he really is the Son of God, that was a very difficult journey for him. But now recently, Nabil has been diagnosed with a very serious stomach cancer. So serious, the doctors didn't, and maybe not even now, I'm not sure, did they expect him to live very many years. And he's just a young man with a young wife and one young child. The news was almost more than Nabil could bear, and he turned to God in faith and prayed earnestly for healing. In fact, he became very adamant and claiming healing from God. And he was just sure that God could do this, God would do this to take away this terrible illness. He started visiting churches that specialized in claiming healing for illnesses, and that helped spur him on in this conviction that God will heal him and take this away. But he wasn't really getting better, so he started praying a little differently. He started praying that Jesus would come to him in a dream and would talk with him and tell him what to do. He really prayed earnestly for this, not so much for healing, but that Jesus would come and reveal himself to him. And soon that's exactly what happened. He had a dream, and Jesus came and gave him a big warm hug, and they sat down and talked. The thing is, when Nabil woke up, he could not remember what they talked about except for three words. He remembered three words that were special. The three words were baby, sponge, and bath. Baby, sponge, and bath. Oh, no. What lesson could there be in that? Well, he said he had prayed so much for Jesus to come and tell him what to do, and he decided if that's what he said, pardon me, then that's what he'll do. So he went to the store and bought a little sponge, and they had the little baby girl, and she liked baths. They put some water in the bathtub, and she loved baths, like many children like to play in the water. And so they put her in the water, and he came with a sponge to start giving her a little bit of a bath with that. And when she saw the sponge coming, she screamed and cried and tried to get out of the tub away from him. And he tried again and again to just bathe her a little bit with that sponge. And she just screamed and cried. She refused to let him come close with that sponge. Finally, he gave up and just put it away. And then it dawned on Nabil what God was telling him. Here he was trying to give his little daughter a bath with the sponge, and she refused to let him do it. She was so scared of him, even though he was her father and always did what was best for her. He never hurt her. He wasn't going to hurt her with that sponge. And God showed Nabil that he was doing the very same thing to God. Even though God was his father and always knew what was best for his children, Nabil was trying to get away from God and the lesson that God was bringing into his life to cleanse him. Nabil was trying to run away and said, "No way, I'm not taking this. You have to heal me." So now Nabil no longer insists on being healed. Of course he hopes and prays that God will see fit to do that. That's fine. But he doesn't insist on it. And he doesn't run away from it. He can rest in whatever God sees best to give him. That's the blessing. The pieces are often not what we want. And we would feel like throwing them away. But when we trust God, we have to come to him, as Brother Judd often says, with an open hand. I like that illustration, with an open hand. And God, if that's the piece you want to put in, I won't close my hand. I won't throw it away. I will take it. Nabil didn't like the pieces God was giving him. Here he had left Islam, the religion of his parents and relatives, at great cost and even danger to his life. You think surely God would give him a beautiful picture, and he will, but he's giving it in some pieces that are not what he thought they would be. Yes, God will give us a good picture, but there's one little catch, and that is that God is the one who chooses the pieces. We don't get to do that. God does that. And it's to our advantage to open our hand and accept the pieces that he wants to give us. We can reject them. We can knock them away. We can complain that other people don't have to get pieces like this. Other people don't have to do that. But we'll lose the blessing and we'll mar the picture that God wants to make. This morning I've told you about a few of the pictures, a few of the pieces that my wife are being given. My wife and I are being given that we really didn't want, and that Nabil Qureshi is getting that he didn't want. But I wonder, as we're together here and we look at your faces, has God been bringing pieces into your life that you've been trying to knock away or maybe run away from, going the other way? Say, that's not what I wanted. That's not what I asked for. It's not what I signed up for. I'd like to encourage us to simply open our hand and receive the pieces. Or perhaps we should say, bring those pieces to God. Give those to Him. Let Him place them in our life exactly where He wants to put them. And God can make a beautiful picture if we give Him all the pieces. We can't. We just make a mess of things like Abraham and Sarah did when we take things into our own hands and we try to cobble things together. But when we bring them to Him and lay them at His feet, He will make something beautiful out of them, far more than we could ever imagine. That's the blessing. To finish this message, we're going to listen to a hymn entitled simply Broken Pieces. Some of you have heard it, I'm sure. I've asked Jonathan to have it ready and to play it over the speaker here. But before he starts it, I want to tell you something special about the singing. The person you will hear singing the lead part, the solo part, is none other than our own dearly beloved Brother Ken Miller. It's a recording that was made in the church there with the youth choir before we moved to Ireland more than 20 years ago. Brother Ken was the director of the youth choir. And he so beautifully and clearly leads out how little he could imagine the broken pieces he would be given, that today he's in prison for his faith. As we listen to this message and song brought to us by Brother Ken, I just invite you to close your eyes and let the words minister to your heart in a very personal way. And I'd like to also invite you to respond if God is showing you some pieces in your life that you've been pushing away or you've been complaining about and you want to bring them to Jesus this morning. Just give them to Him as we're encouraged in this hymn, this song. You can raise your hand as a sign of dedication that you're saying amen to what we're hearing in the song. Or if you'd like to come forward and have someone pray with you, you can come to one of the rooms in the front here and there'll be someone there to meet with you in prayer. Feel free anytime during the song to just come out of your seat and come up to your room here if you'd like to. Remember that God wants to make a beautiful picture out of your life. Let's take this opportunity to give Him every little broken piece. We have the song.
Just place the broken pieces at the Savior's feet. Have you failed in life's battle? Thank you.